Well, good morning, everyone. Dobre utro. That's one of the phrases we remembered. It means good morning. So it's a privilege for us to be here this morning to share with you about our time in Ukraine. But first of all, we want to say thank you so much for your prayers and your financial support while we were there. Every little bit helps, and we're just so thankful for the faithful people who prayed for us and sacrificed to support us. Not once were we in need, and we are so thankful. So we'll just share some slides and talk a little bit about some of the things that went on in Ukraine. Oh, we can see there. So the next slide, I think, is the map, and there's a little red star on the river, the Dnieper River, and that represents the village of Nikolaypolia, where we lived, between the cities of Zaporozhye and Dnipro. The next slide is Gary and Teresa Verhoeg, and these are Manitoba dairy farmers who went to Ukraine to start a dairy farm to minister to farmers in particular, but then they joined with another ministry to teach life skills to young adult orphans. And so we worked with them a little bit in the village. The next slide, I believe, is a picture of the staff that we worked with. And the ministry in the village there was called Hope for Each. And so they had Yana was the barn manager working with the dairy cows. Vova was one of the dorm dads that had some young men living in his house. Victor, at the back of the table, was kind of like our bureaucratic attaché. He was our translator. He took us to visa appointments, doctor's appointments, all those kinds of important things that we couldn't do for ourselves. And Max, in the background with his family, was working on the farm. He's a welder. He worked on the mechanic on the equipment and helped translate. His English improved when we got there because our Russian sucked. So those were some of the people we worked with every day. The next slide.
What we started to do with the students there is every 2 weeks we would have them all in for a supper. And during that time, we would always begin with a devotional time. And the young girl who's sitting beside me, she was also our tutor. She was the one that was trying to get the Russian alphabet and the Russian language into her head. And it was a big job and struggled with it. But so every 2 weeks, we would have the students in and for a meal. And I can tell you this, they know how to eat. I think some of them saved up for that time when they showed up, but it was always a good time to have them in and to be able to share God's word with them, and then to be able to share a meal. And we did that every 2 weeks with them, and it was just something they always looked forward to, and so did we. Next slide. And this is during that time, just supper with the students as they're sitting around the tables, and in our area, there was usually probably about 15 to 20 people out for supper every 2 weeks. And so it was a house full whenever we did it. And we made a lot of food. They love their potatoes. They love their bread. The first meal we ever had with them, we forgot bread. And they said, Leb, where's the bread? We never forgot after that again. But they always enjoyed the meals and the potatoes. We made the mistake the first time where we did. Shannon did a whole great, like a big soup pot full of potatoes, mashed potatoes. Well, you know as well as I do, one spoonful of mashed potatoes can hold a lot of potatoes. And it was clean to the bottom, like totally cleaned out. After that, we went to just boiled potatoes because you can only get one or so at a time with a fork. They start breaking on you, and it just sort of helped to make it go a little bit farther. We encouraged them to come back for leftovers. And so they got better at that as time went on. Next slide. Sometimes the students would show up and they just drop by in the evening. And they wanted to play some games. We couldn't understand each other very well, and we used our phone sometimes to try and interpret each other. And sometimes it was close. Other times it was like, this isn't even close. But we'd play games. They loved the hot chocolate and just the time to sit around. And it was amazing. Even though we couldn't understand each other well, we had fun together. And they just enjoyed just popping in. And so that was something that we did with them also. The next slide.
So Teresa would teach the students English. Once a week, they had English class. Once or twice a week. And so sometimes she would come back to Canada to visit family, and she asked me if I wanted to teach them English. So they can't read English, so we started with the alphabet. And so I'm teaching them, what does the letters sound like? And then we would do, she was teaching them colors too. So she had pencil crayons, and she'd hold up the green pencil crayon, and so they would have to say green. And I was there that particular day, and so the students would tell me that I had to say the Russian word. So it was English class and it was Russian class at the same time. So next slide is Summer English Institute. So this particular picture is the teachers from 2019 when both Scott and I were there. I first went to Ukraine in 2017 to be part of Summer English Institute. And so that's where I first was introduced to that ministry. And it is just a ministry where you teach on a topic for 3 weeks to all kinds of Ukrainian people who want to learn better English. They have to be able to speak English to come, and you don't have to be a teacher to teach. I don't have a teacher's degree. I taught on making a difference the first time I went. Scott taught on integrity. So you can teach first aid, you can teach music, you can teach computers. Yeah, it's in a secular setting, so we can't teach from the Bible. But, of course, the Bible was part of my preparation, the principles. And we have two classes starting at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, we have General Assembly, which is kind of like mini church service. We had some praise and worship, a devotional or a testimony, give away some Canadian prizes that all the Canadian teachers bring with them. And then we have at 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, classes 3 and 4. And during General Assembly, usually the MC says, if you have any questions about the testimony or the preaching or the songs, ask your third period teacher. So, of course, sometimes they'll ask. One of Scott's students said, when did Jesus become real to you? So he can answer that question freely. You know, so it's a platform to be able to make relationships with students, and then the English-speaking people who live in Ukraine, like Gary and Teresa and us, Marina is one of these teachers. She also had English Bible studies. So you can come to learn the Bible, or you can come to improve your English. And of course, the Bible gets into them and makes a difference. So Lena is also in this picture. She was like our office secretary, you know, go-to person. She came to Summer English Institute about 20 years ago to improve her English. Because the goal of many Ukrainians is to learn English so they can leave the country and get a better job. She came to Summer English Institute to learn better English. She went to the English Bible study to improve her English. By the end of that year, she gave her heart to Christ because the teacher made a difference in her life and it started to make sense to her. So if you're looking for a ministry, a short-term missions ministry, connect with us, or we can pass you on to the home office. I'm not sure who's organizing Summer English Institute anymore because Daryl Porter has retired, but he might still be in charge. It's a wonderful opportunity to go make connections with different people. It's crazy. When I went, I asked the director, I said, what's the best part? What's the hardest part? He said, the best part is the 300 new people I have on Facebook with Ukrainian names, you know? But he said, at the end of Summer English Institute, you're going to be emotionally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. Well, I was after 1 week, but after 3 weeks, I was so excited. I could have come home without the airplane. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. So if you're interested, it would be really cool. So next slide is Summer English Institute goes Monday to Friday. Then on one Saturday, we have a picnic down at the riverbank at a park. Another Saturday, Gary said, anybody who wants to come to the village, you can tour the farm and see what we do out there. So lots of people, some drove, some took the bus. They came out, we had picnic. They usually always bring food with them when they come. So we had outdoor picnic and they had a tour of the farm. So next slide is Summer English Institute 2020 looked very different because of COVID restrictions. They just had two picnics in the park. The first one, we were in quarantine because we had just returned to Ukraine in early July. But this one, we were there. And so there was about, I think, 30 or 40 people maybe that came that day. And at the front, side, there's Walter there. So Scott's going to tell you about Walter.
We'll go on to another slide, because he's in another one here, too. So we'll go on to the next slide here, and we'll talk to him a bit more. But this is some of the people that are, we still do a Zoom class from Canada almost every Sunday. We've slowed it down to once a month during the summer. But this is some of the people that are in our Zoom class, and we teach, we've been going through the book of Acts together. So that's just, we got together the one day in Dnipro and just had a good time with one another and while we were over there. Next slide. Yeah, so that's our Zoom English class that we get together and we enjoy it. It's great to see their faces each week and just to be able to reconnect and be able to share life together. Yeah, and next slide. This is Alzana, our tutor, and when we got over there, Gary had somebody lined up for us that would teach us. We got over there, and he said, she can't do it. I think health reasons or whatever came up. And so it was a challenge. We tried the lady who was a translator with Hope for Each. She wasn't a teacher. It just didn't work out. Another lady tried to teach us, but she was just wanting us to memorize the words. We didn't even know the sounds of the alphabet. And so it was a real struggle to try to... How do you say these words when you see the word all together? But this is when we went back, we took this picture, and Shannon was teaching her a little bit that week too.
So in July, when we were there this past year, we went back to wrap things up, sell our car, and I had bought a sewing machine because I love to sew. And I made curtains for our house, I made masks for all of the students when required and things like that. So I was going to give my sewing machine to Alzana in hopes that she could start her own home-based business. So she came almost every day for 3 weeks and we were sewing. We made this baby blanket, we made a shirt and shorts for her son. You know, I taught her how to mend, how to hem, and she's been using the sewing machine for her own self and others in the village. So next slide. This is some of the yard of ours. This is when the students came for the last supper that we had with them, we had it outside. And so we're playing games before supper starts. And the yard looks kind of nice, similar to a North American backyard, but that's not what it looked like when we got there. So next slide. That's what was in the backyard when we arrived. Construction zone trash, of course, but also years of trash from the grandma, the babushka, who lived there before. So next slide, you can kind of go through these fairly quickly. This is some of the piles in our backyard that we cleared away and landscaped and hauled in some topsoil, and Scott planted grass, and we made a fire pit, and that's been a blessing because they sit around, we'll have wiener roasts, and that's where we have our outdoor meals. So the next one, Scott planted the grass, and we watered it, and we planted some flowers and roses, and
Gary contacted us one time. He says, this grass never stops growing. Like, he said, what's going on? Like, he said, did you water it? Did you fertilize it before I left? You left? And I said, don't you remember where you told me to get the dirt from? It was an old manure pile. It was well fertilized all the way through. But he says, I've had enough cutting of grass. It just keeps going and going and going, but it sure looks nice. And you know, the kids would get out there and they've never been around like nice grass like that, and they'd take their shoes off just to wiggle their toes in the grass, and for them it was just really neat. And but yeah, it was just piles after piles, because she would have never had a place to take her stuff, so they'd just dig a hole and they'd bury stuff, or they'd just throw dirt over stuff, and it was just, we'd clean an area up and then you'd scrape just to knock a pile down and there's a whole bunch more junk under that. And we took out about three-ton truckloads of stuff out of the backyard. And when we were done, Max, he came by one day and he says, how about you come and live at my place for about a month? You know, so it was just, some people did look after the yard, some people just didn't, but we see that here too. So next slide. So this was our last meal with them last July when we were back. And that's Vika in the front saying goodbye, waving to Shannon, I guess. And but yeah, it was just... We really enjoyed our time over there with them and being able to pour into their lives. We didn't learn the language well enough. We always needed a translator. And it would have taken a while to have learned it. Just a different alphabet, different sounds. Some looked the same. Some letters looked the same as ours, and they were the same. Others looked the same, but they weren't the same. So it was a real uphill climb. I said it was like going up the face of a cliff for me and for the challenge. All right, and next slide.
You want to do that?
Oh yeah. I like this, the cow parade. From May till about November, the community sends their milk cows out to the pasture. And they start at the east end of town, I think, and they wander, the pasture's at the west end. So the cows wander down the street in front of the shepherd, and they go out to pasture after morning milking, and they come back to the barn in evening milking. So if you don't have a gate on your yard, the cows will kind of wander in now and then, especially if you have apple trees. They love apples. So we had a gate that closed, but Gary's gate right next door didn't close. So we would stand in his gate to make sure the cows didn't come into the yard. But that was the morning and evening event of the day. So I think that's our last slide. Yeah, Scott was thinking that there was a picture of Walter, but there wasn't on this slide. So he'll tell you about Walter.
Walter was somebody who had come out to Summer English Institute for probably over 20 years. Not once had he come to a follow-up Bible study, not once. But that year, he came out to ours and began to slowly learn a little bit. But our pastor at the time, he said, if Walter ever gives his life to the Lord, he said, that will be a miracle. But the thing is we never know, do we? Our role is just to be available and just to be willing to pour into whoever God brings across our path, whoever that may be. And sometimes we'd like to choose differently, but God knows who he wants to bring into our lives. But Walter is somebody who, as he started to come, he said, we met Sunday afternoons, and he says, I want to learn more. And he started bringing another guy with him to these classes. So on Friday, I would drive into Dnipro, and we would spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours just sitting in my car talking about the Bible. And did that. So when we came back to Canada, for Walter, he wanted to continue. And we were doing a Zoom class with the others. And Walter didn't do Zoom because he might have had a flip phone or just something. He had no internet in his house, on phones. Nothing. So I was buying Skype long distance minutes to talk to Walter, and that adds up after a while at 22, 23 cents a minute. It adds up. But finally, I think earlier this summer, we were able to get him hooked up with a smartphone to where now he thinks it's great. At first he said, oh, this gadget. Just, he wasn't used to it. But we now, instead of a half an hour conversation, we'd talk for an hour. Now he wants to talk a couple times a week, now that it works out. But Walter has come a long, long ways. At one time, he believed that, he just said, yeah, Jesus is a good man. But he said, I don't believe he is God. He said, I just believe he was created. But he said, that's good enough for me. And I said, but Walter, it isn't good enough. Not if what Scripture is saying, he can't be both. He has to be who he says he is. And Walter just said, well, I just don't believe that. But about 3 months ago, 2 to 3 months ago, Walter, it was right after he got that new phone. And then at the end of our time together, he said, can I pray? And I thought, well, that's new. That's interesting. But he began to pray, and not just like a 15-second prayer. He prayed for about 2 to 3 minutes. Almost had tears in my eyes because of what God was doing in his life. And he prays after, every time that we're done now, he always prays. But about 2 months ago, he said, I believe that Jesus is who you say he is. If Walter hasn't made the commitment, he's knocking on the doorstep. Like he is just, we haven't met as much in the last few weeks because we've been involved with the harvest. And so just, usually I talk to him at 11 o'clock in the morning, which is 8 o'clock over there. So it doesn't work so well at this time of the year. But it's just something, there was times that I was frustrated, you know, and I think we're like that sometimes with people. Like it just seems like they're not getting it. He's got questions that just seem to, they don't make sense. But you know what? We just need to keep pressing in. Because I just felt like saying, Lord, is this really worth it? And that was probably within a week or two, Walter said, can I pray? And it just made me think, God is doing something in this man's life. You know, even though we're miles and miles apart, you know, he is just so thankful that I will spend time with him. And, you know, I think we all have people like that in our lives. We just need to say, God, who is in my life that you want to, that I can make a difference in? How can I be a light that will point them to the gospel? And we just need to be available. We need to know that it's God's plan, not ours. And Walter has been, you know, I look and he's just been an amazing part of my life. I look forward to this, and maybe over the winter we can start meeting twice a week. But he's growing and he's learning. And when he prays, he uses other scriptures in his prayers. You know, and just it's just so, so neat to see what God is doing in his life. So be encouraged. If you're sharing with somebody and they frustrate you, just go through that. Get through it and then see what God wants to do. You know, sometimes it's just like, maybe we get to the point like, well, God, who is my neighbor? And in Bible school, they taught me, my neighbor is whoever God brings across my path. That's who my neighbor is. So I don't get to just pick the one that's living next to me. It's whoever God brings across my path, your path. And I remember hearing a story years ago, and it's always been a powerful illustration in my life that God wants to use us. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what age you are, he wants to use us. And it was an elderly lady who was at church one Sunday, and they had a guest speaker, and she went up to him after, and she said, I've wasted my life. Like, what? How can God use me now? I've lost my good years. And he said, don't limit God. Don't limit him. Look for opportunities to serve. Don't let your age be a deterrent. In any way, and that's young, old, in between. Don't let anything be a deterrent. And think outside the box. And she lived in an inner city in the United States where she just felt the danger around her, and she tended to stay secluded to her room as much as possible. But one morning, she looked outside her window, and she saw six teens gathered outside waiting for the bus, and she knew if they were like a lot of the teens in her area, they would be hungry. And she had six fresh blueberry muffins. And she thought, I'm going to take them down. And she said, and I'll be able to share Jesus with them. Well, she took the muffins down, and they quickly grabbed the muffins, they ate them, but the bus showed up about the same time, and they were gone. But the next day, she did it again. And within the next 2 weeks, it grew from 6 to 9 to 12 kids that she would be taking muffins down to every morning. She began to borrow pans to be able to have enough as the kids learned what this lady was doing. And she faithfully kept doing it. Even though her income was limited, she kept doing it. And one day her landlord knocked on her door, and she went to the door and she thought, oh, I could be in trouble. But he said, this isn't a problem. He said, we are so thankful for what you are doing. He said, our apartment block has always had at least $200 a month in vandalism done to it. But he said, ever since you started your muffin ministry, it's gone to zero. And he said, just keep doing it. And he said, we don't understand how you can afford to do it because we know you're on a limited income. So he said, as an apartment, we're waiving your rent. Keep making muffins. Well, this creative ministry ultimately led to kids staying with her after school as parents got to know her too. And she began to take these kids and their families to her church. The church that she went to bought a bus to haul all the kids in that she was bringing every Sunday. They said that she was the best youth pastor they had ever had. And she was one of the oldest ones in their congregation. Her life had not been wasted. God had a plan for her life when she looked outside the box and when she made muffins, and that opened the door. So I think it's just a neat way of saying, don't limit God. Anticipate how he might use you. Anticipate what doors he might open up as a result of doing something simple that will just open the gospel up for people to hear about Jesus. You know, so the challenge for us is how can we look outside the box and see our neighbor? Because we went over to Ukraine. We don't need to go overseas to be in our mission field. As we walk out the door, we're in a mission field immediately. And we always need to keep our eyes open to who God would have, who he would bring into our lives. And so we need to sometimes ask ourselves, God, have we limited you by what we're comfortable doing? And allow him to maybe tip things upside down a little bit to where he can use us in ways that we never would have imagined. God knows what is possible for each of our lives, doesn't he? Each and every one of us. And we must remember and never forget who we are in God's sight. And one passage that I love to think about when I know of how God looks at us is 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is what God sees us as. And he knows that's what can happen when the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling within us. We just have to see ourselves through the truth and the light of Scripture. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God's word is our truth. We need to stand on it. We need to live it. We need to breathe it. It needs to become ours in every way possible. So what is God capable of doing in your life and mine? Do we know that God uses our everyday, ordinary life? I think sometimes we're looking for the extraordinary. He uses the ordinary so often. And I think of the passages from Colossians 3:17 and 23 and 24. Where God says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Can God use you? Can he use me? Absolutely. I just know that there's times I've limited him just because I maybe don't want to step out and trust him. Go where he's maybe asking me to go. But whatever we do, I just encourage us all to do it wholeheartedly, like you said there. Like, we used to have a farm. Bothered me when I had people who just gave a half-hearted effort. I struggle with that because I want them to do their best. And God wants us to do our best too. He's not asking for perfect. He's asking us to do our best. And we just need to give him our best. And whatever we do, whether it's going to work tomorrow, we're back in Canada and I was doing some interim pastoring in another community that's now finished. We're back in our own home. I was working for the town part-time mowing grass. But I also wanted to use it to build relationships with the people that I'm working with. I went out and drove grain cart during the harvest for people I'd never met before, but I said, God, use me. Use me somehow, some way. I want to be a light for you. And I don't know what, like, they knew I used to pastor in that community, so they knew who I was. Whether that affected some of their language or whatever, I don't know. But I never heard the real coarse language, not even once while I was there. But the father, who's probably early 70s, the one day they have an old bus that they bring out to the field, that's where we have our meals in. And as he got up, he just said, since you've been here, you've made a difference in my life. I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but he said, you've made a difference. So we need to realize that people are watching us way more than you think that they do. They're watching us. And so just know that as you go to work, as you go to the store, people are watching us. I think of years ago when we were living in Red Deer and I was filling up the car with gas. And when I finished it, Shannon went in and paid for the bill. And when she came back out, something I'd started a few years before that, and I continue to this day as I opened the door for her. And I walked around to the other side, opened the door, and the guy beside me in the car said, "What did you do that for?" I said, "Well, she appreciates it." And I said, "I want to be a blessing to her." He goes, "Oh, okay." People are watching. You never know who is watching you. So let's be that beacon of light for the Lord. Think of a couple scriptures that Jesus talks about in John 13, 34 and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." And that's the challenge, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And then looking into John 15, 8, where he says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Showing ourselves. And in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And that's when we walk in his love, when his love flows through us and shines through us, people see that and lives are changed. So I would just say, have you had dreams in the past where you believe that God inspired that dream in you and yet you've never seen it come to be? Or you think, "I could never do that"? I was about 2 months old in the Lord and I got baptized. And as I came up out of the water, the thought was in my mind that someday we would leave the farm and be able to serve him. And yet I want to be careful about that because we all serve him wherever we are. But that thought was in my mind. It took 11 years. But one day it happened. Something that's been in my mind a few times because of where we lived, and I guess as a kid growing up, I always thought about becoming an RCMP officer, but when I graduated at that time, you needed to know French. I know how to count to six, and that's it. But living beside them, we have them living behind us, in across the street from us, and the office is right beside us, so we're on three sides. But the thought that was in my mind was to become an RCMP chaplain. And then I'd never really pressed onto it and pursued it, but I think it was in January or so, I was looking on something, and I was on YouTube, and it had a little thing on the side, RCMP chaplaincy in Alberta. So I watched it. And I wrote down the man's name and his email, sent him my information. He got me in contact with the guy in Regina. My papers are in. It'll take 3 to 6 months. But that's something where I can get into their lives. Like he said, the chaplain said, the key thing is not to go in and start preaching at them. He said, you can go riding with them. He said, get to know them, become their friend, somebody that they know they can trust. And he said, there's going to be challenging times, but there's going to be times when maybe there's been a bad accident, somebody in the community has been killed. And he said, they're going to come and knock on your door in the middle of the night and say, come with us. What does God want you to do? That's something I feel he led me to do. But I know he does that in each and every one of our lives. Because the light of Christ is meant to shine through you, through me. Jesus said you are the light of the world to his disciples. Well, we're his disciples today. So we need his light to shine through us. So as I read that one scripture earlier, and I close with this, remember who you are in him. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's who we are as followers of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to represent you to the world in which we live. And Lord, it seems so big and so vast at times, and we just say, Lord, where do we even start? But Lord, you know where we will fit. You know what you've gifted us. You know how you've equipped us. And Lord, just help us to be sensitive to that voice where, like, RCMP chaplaincy. And whatever it may be, Lord, we're all unique, but we're all gifted by you. We're all filled with your Spirit. And Lord, because of that, you work in us. It's your power that works in and through us. So Lord, help us to represent you well wherever we go. And Lord, as we go out through these doors, we know that we're entering into the mission field. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to say, Lord, help me to see through your eyes. Help us to anticipate. Help us to expect you to open doors for us. And it may not be to share the gospel at that one moment, but it may be to build a relationship that will flourish into something amazing. Lord, we look where you began with this one lady with six blueberry muffins and what that flourished into. Lord, help us just to know that you are an amazing God who can do amazing things. So Lord, thank you for using us. Thank you for your calling upon our lives. And Lord, help us to never forget that the people out there need you. They need a Savior. And you've called us to be that to them. So Lord, help us to be who we say we are, to live our faith according to your word. And Lord, may you be glorified and may your kingdom grow as a result of how you're working in and through our lives as individuals and then as the body of Christ together. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.